Thank you. I'm going to Our coming, we will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. forward to make the chapter 4, verse 26, that we have not come to him. He said this, but the Jerusalem of God is free, which is the mother of all. Now all of this was something beyond the experience of both the Jews and Gentiles of Jesus' faith. The kingdom of the Israelites will encompass specific geographical areas. For all the kingdoms of men, the Israelites would always have a physical location on earth, whether tabernacle or temple or place. For 1,000 years, this place has been in Jerusalem. Every earthly human kingdom is an earthly kingdom, but God's kingdom is not. Instead, God's kingdom is the capital in heavenly Jerusalem, where God's throne room is located, in the sanctuary, not made to human hands. So, if all of this was not a crime to be necessary, Jesus told us there is something even more important. In Luke 16, verse 20 and 21, it says, when you have asked for the miracle, when the kingdom of God will come, we should come. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, hear or see here, for indeed the kingdom of God will come to you. Now, what kind of kingdom is this? A kingdom that is with you? Jesus is truly introducing something marvelous in nature, something revolutionary. This is not just a new kingdom, but a new type of kingdom. Another type of kingdom that is totally different from the kingdom you were taught about and never heard about before. Kingdom of God. So it's easy to be thinking, Jesus was talking about a spiritual kingdom, not a real one. No, Jesus was talking about a real kingdom. The ancient kingdom of the Israelites was a kingdom, a real kingdom, wasn't it? In the real kingdom, real subjects, and the real law, the kingdom of God is still as real as the ancient Israelite kingdom. It still has a real king, real subjects, and real law. God's kingdom, God's domain encompasses the entire earth, even though most of the earth's population are not citizens of the kingdom. What does this mean? The kingdom of God is within us. He was saying that the kingdom is not based on external force of obedience to God's will. He wants an obedience which is motivated by an appreciation of his love. God's kingdom is based on God's love and sacrifice for us and our willing love and obedience in return. This makes it a unique and amazing kingdom. It is a pearl of great price that you could have built on freedom and strength and love. All other kingdoms are based on external coercion and fear. But God's kingdom is unique because it has nothing to do with coercion and fear. God does not want us to enter the kingdom because we fear death and because we fear power. These are not the proper motivations for entering into the kingdom of God. Indeed, fear can never bring us into the kingdom of God. The only way we can enter it is through the door of God's love for us. We must first believe that we are the Lord's beloved before we can enter it. So the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of coercion, it is a kingdom of unconditional love. The kingdom from within, not from without. And that is amazing. There is nothing like it. It is a pearl of great price, and it's worth our losing for. A lot of Christians have the idea that the kingdom of God is something only in the future when Jesus returns. But no, the kingdom of God is something that is right here and not in the future. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verse 13, these words, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness to convey us into the kingdom of the Son of God. Paul speaks in past tense. God has already converted into his kingdom by coming in the cross and making it his love for us. He doesn't bring it into his kingdom when he returns and dwells in heaven. And then he will bring it to the wicked and later set his kingdom on earth after things are destroyed. But he brings us into his kingdom soon as we are born again as the faith of his love. And he calls us into a relationship of loving obedience to his law and his will today and tomorrow and now. Not in the future, but in the present. Will you respond to the incredible kingdom of God? Anybody can choose to be part of this kingdom, to be a citizen of this kingdom, if they will believe in the word of God for them, if they are willing to make the needed commitment of love and return. But reporter desire to become citizen of the United States of America, they are required to take the following oath. I don't consider an oath to absolutely and entirely renounce and restore all allegiance and donate any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereign, of whom or which I am admitted to have been a subject of citizen. But it is important to defend the Constitution and the law of the United States of America, and the law of the United States, foreign and domestic. And they will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law. And they will perform work of maximum importance under civilian direction when required by the law. And they will take the obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion for helping God. Now, the United States, like most other governments, will not allow those who wish to become citizens to straddle the fence. Mandatory citizens cannot claim that their loyalty and allegiance belong to the United States. They retain allegiance to some foreign power. Our government won't allow this. It wants undivided loyalty from anyone who fights for citizenship. So, it becomes no surprise that places that keep this nation require similar loyalty from those who wish to fight for citizenship. And this community. In fact, you require an even greater degree of loyalty. And how can you require a greater degree of loyalty to other communities? He has given more to us than other people. He has given himself. He has sacrificed himself and given everything to redeem us. Thus, he requires more than any other people. Ephesians 6:10, verse 37 to 39. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And you who love son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He will find his life will lose it, and he will lose his life for his soul. Matthew 12:30, he was not with me, they keep me, and he who does not travel with me, he will be brought. Luke 14:33, whoever you would wish to fix all the things you do, not be with the people. The United States does not require a person to forsake all that has to be in the faithful. But Jesus is with us, and he can gain everything for us. In this kingdom, there can be no divided loyalty. Jesus will not be relegated to a subservient role in anyone or anything. He loves us supremely. He requires all or nothing in return. In fact, that's the very reason Jesus tells us to count the cost before deciding to join his kingdom. Jesus has no desire for us to find something we won't finish. Luke 9:62. No one, having put his hands on a plow and looking back, but before we count the cost, let's count the infinite sacrifice that he paid on our behalf. Any mathematician will understand that the cost is the key to that. He has paid so much more for us than we are asked to give him to. It should be a joy to obey his commandments because of his great love for us. Jesus will give the very quality commandments for our benefit, and he expects complete and partial obedience. Jesus has said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who gives them. They are passions to not go to the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world is a different kingdom. The great kingdom of our eternity. Our passion is to be for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is real. It is real as any other kingdom. And it's the only kingdom that continues on for eternity. We need to be conforming our wonder to the requirements of the kingdom. We need to be learning to obey and teaching to obey. My friends, there are only two kingdoms today in this world, the kingdom of self and the kingdom of God. And God is appealing to us in this new year to commit ourselves to God's kingdom of life. We must make this an absolute commitment. Christ is coming soon in the cloud of heaven. And we will join him together if we have lived for his kingdom and his birth. We will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in a few things, you will therefore quickly respond to him. When Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, he will become apparent which kingdom we have given our allegiance to, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of God. We will lead the citizens of God's kingdom, and we will become permanent citizens of the kingdom. All the nations will be assembled before you. You will see my people from one another with a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by your father, and here is the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And the last one from the Lord, when did he see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did he see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did he see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king was listening. I told you the truth. If you did it to one of the least, then you brought me to the one. You did it to me? Church, I was in we are standing in the glory of God. You are asking us something that is so small compared to what we do in life. You are asking for our religion. You are asking that we work for your kingdom, we defend your kingdom, we work to expand your kingdom, and we obey your kingdom, we conform our lives to the principles of your kingdom, and to the way of God. For it is made possible to be part of your kingdom because of your love. And we become here today wanting to recommit our lives to you, wanting to give ourselves to your service, and to be loyal to your flesh. Father, you see our attention is in so many things in this world, and far too strong. So many people have invested their energy, their time, their talent, thinking that this is their will, thinking that your kingdom must be fought for fortune. Indeed, you see in the word that your calling is a different kingdom. The only one for life. And we desire today to give our allegiance to you and to be true followers of Jesus. And to pray that you would help us to every other time that we meet. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come here to worship you and to learn more about this kingdom. Thank you for continuing to grow and knowledge of it and understand it. Thank you for the love of the Lord. Thank you for coming.